special. I want to ask you a question. Do you believe? Do you believe what he says to you? Believe that Christ died for you, even you, and that he loves you no matter what. We're here today because we believe and we trust in the promises of God. And we're going to learn a little bit more about what the Lord says. But at the end of the day, that's really the question. Do you believe? Do you believe God? Do you believe his word? Do you believe the truth? So if you're able, let's stand together. Matthew 6, verse 25 is where we're going to find our text. And we're going to read from the words of Jesus today. We're still in the Sermon on the Mount. That amazing sermon, great sermon, walking through, learning about the kingdom of God. And in Matthew 20, chapter 6, verse 25 is where we're going to find our text. Let's pray and ask God to speak to us through his word. I don't know about you, but I am sometimes easily distracted. I don't know about you, but I am sometimes easily distracted. And we need God's help to focus. We need God's help to lock in on his word. So let's pray that he'll help us to do that this morning and speak to us, because this is the very word of God. And not just because it's in red. Every word in the scripture is his word. But this is God's word, and we want him to speak to us this morning. So I'm going to ask Brother Steve Mitchell, will you please lead us in a word of prayer before we read? Verse 25, the Lord says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Amen. Please be seated. Today I want to talk about how we can live the way that God wants us to live, the way Christ would call us to, as we think about these things. And I want you to go back to verse 25. And I want to make this clear from the beginning, because some of us are easily distracted and you'll not be paying attention later. The phrase take no thought really means don't be anxious. Okay? So Jesus is not advocating for you to be thoughtless. He's not advocating for you not to think. What he's saying is don't worry. Don't be anxious. Don't live with anxiety or fear in your life. And I'm going to tell you today that Christ is calling you to live free from daily anxiety. Don't be anxious about your life. Take no thought is literally don't be anxious. It's translated careful in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. You're probably familiar with this one. Be careful, same word. That word careful is the same as the phrase take no thought. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So think about it like this. Verse 6, don't be anxious for anything. Don't be anxious about anything. That's what he's telling us. Now, we live in a society today that is overwhelmed by anxiety. If you can go a week without hearing somebody talk about being stressed or anxious, I would be shocked. We live in a world that is overwhelmed by anxiety and fear. And Christ is calling us to not live with anxiety. Don't worry. Don't worry. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Luke 10, 38. You'll remember this account. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Now stop right there. I want you to get the picture. How many of you have siblings, real quick? Can I just see, you have brothers or sisters? That's most everybody. Real quick, that was really hard to tell. How many of you are only children? Let me see. God bless you. I see. Look at the special ones. Everybody, look at the special ones. Yeah. The only one. The one and only. For most of us who grew up with siblings, this story resonates with me. And it resonates with me as a father of multiple children. Right? Listen, Mary was doing nothing. She was just sitting there listening to Jesus talk. And Martha had to do all of the work. Now, what do your children do? And what did you do when you were a kid and you felt like you were doing more than your share of the chores? Well, you're going to tell somebody, Mom, right? And usually it was my sister telling my mom, Mom, Isaac won't do what you told him to, right? That's the story it was at my house. And I'm not saying she was wrong. I'm just saying that's the way it went. The biggest fights my sister and I had were on cleaning days when Mom gave us a list of things to do, and my sister felt like I wasn't carrying my load. Okay? Yeah, I almost got murdered many times because I didn't vacuum or something. Okay. So this story resonates. Mary is just sitting in there listening to Jesus. Martha is entertaining Jesus. It's a big deal. Like, you guys clean the house up to have company come over. Can you imagine Jesus is coming over tonight for dinner? I mean, you guys will clean the house and put together the fake house for just anybody. You guys know what the fake house is, right? Yeah. I like it when people come over and I don't care whether, like, they can just see the house like it really is, right? So she's in there trying to get things ready. She's in there fixing the house. She's in there cooking food. She's in there doing the work. And she's upset because Mary is just sitting there in her mind. But Jesus says this in verse 41, Martha, Martha, thou art, what's the word? What is it? Same word, isn't it? You know what that is? Jesus says, you are taking thought, Martha. You are anxious. Martha, you are overwhelmed with anxiety. You are careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Now, is Jesus saying that it's not important to do the dishes or cook the food? No. No, what it's talking about is priorities. And he's saying, Mary has chosen to put my word first, so she's not anxious, she's not worried about the other things. It's exactly what the Lord's teaching us back here. He's going to teach us to seek first the kingdom of God. It doesn't mean that you don't ever have to eat or put on clothes. Somebody say amen. Because we should both wear clothes and eat. Okay? He's not saying you don't need those things at all. He's saying don't worry about those things. And he's saying when you put the kingdom first, you don't have to worry about it because you're trusting God that he's going to take care of it. And Mary was putting the word first. She's putting the kingdom first. And so she didn't have to worry about the other stuff. It's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. Luke 12, 11. Luke 12, 11. When they bring you into the synagogue and to the magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what ye shall answer or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. Jesus is warning his disciples that there's going to come a time when they're going to get arrested, they're going to be persecuted, they're going to be tortured and even killed because they preach Jesus. And he says in verse 11, take no thought how or what you shall answer. I'm going to tell you, when I first started preaching and when I felt like God was calling me to pastor, this verse really messed me up, because I was taught that you ought to study the Bible and you ought to prepare sermons. But then I read this and I'm like, well, Jesus said, don't think about it. And it really struggled with it, because I didn't understand. To take no thought doesn't mean don't think about it. It means don't worry about it. Don't be anxious about it. So as a young man, I'm like, well, maybe I shouldn't write sermons. Maybe I should just get up and wing it. Just don't even study. Just get up there, flip open the Bible and be like, yeah, all right, let's see what we got, right? But that's not what he's teaching. He's not teaching don't think about anything. He's teaching don't worry about things. Okay? So study is important. Preparation is important. Prayer is important. And at the end of the day, the point Jesus is telling us, that you don't have to live in anxiety every day. You don't have to live in fear and worry all the time, because you can trust God. Don't be anxious about your life. So what does he say specifically? Don't worry about food or drink or clothes. Isn't your life more than what you eat and what you wear? That's what he's saying. Your life is more than what you put in your mouth, and it's more than what you put on. It's more than that. So go back to our text. Go back to our text. Verse 25, take no thought for your life. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink, nor for your body what you shall put on, what you will wear. Your life is more than food and clothes. Okay, that's what he's saying. Your life is more than that. I'm going to tell you, there's some people that I've been around that I'm not sure that they understand that. I think that their whole life is about what they wear. Their whole life is about what's going to be for the next meal, and that's all they are concerned about. And he's saying, don't worry about that stuff. Behold the fowls of the air. They don't sow seed. They don't reap crops. They don't gather into their barns, but the Heavenly Father feeds them. Are ye not much better than they? Side note, little public service announcement for anybody who's a part of PETA today. You are more valuable than animals. Listen, you may think that's ridiculous to point out, but I'm telling you, somebody listening in this room, maybe or online, does not understand that. They think that your bird has as much value as a human being. They think that your pet dog has as much value as you do. And listen, I've seen a lot of Christians who seem to be getting a little confused about that. Your life is more valuable than an animal's life. You are made in the image of God. Okay? When you abandon a biblical worldview, when you abandon the created order that God has made, you're going to get all things mixed up. And I have listened to people ask the question, if your neighbor and your dog, your pet dog and your neighbor are both drowning in the swimming pool next door, and you only have time to save one, which one would you save? And you would be shocked. And they're not playing. It's not a joke to them. How many of them, their answer is, which neighbor? They're not joking. Like, if I could only save one, it depends on the neighbor. I would let my neighbor drown, and I would save Fido, depending on which neighbor it is. Friends, that's tragic. And that's the state of the world today, when you abandon God and you abandon truth. Okay? Does that mean that animals don't have any value? No. The law teaches that you ought to, a righteous man cares for the life of his animal. Okay? So I'm not talking about cruelty. I'm not talking about anything like that. I'm just trying to say we need to keep the order right. And guess what? God takes care of the birds. He'll take care of you. He'll take care of you. He will take care of you. Verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? Jesus is trying to give us some examples. He's saying, don't worry about food or drink or clothes. Your life is more than what you eat and what you wear. And then he's giving some examples. He says, look at the birds. Look at the birds. He says, think about your stature. Now, the word stature is translated a lot of different ways. It can apply to your height, stature, how tall you are. It can apply to your level of maturity, how mature you are either in age or in the way you act, the way that you live. And it can deal with actual age. So consider that. Think about that. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he, right? So he was of short stature. Zacchaeus could not add 1 inch to his height. Isaac's slave could not add 1 inch to his height. You think that doesn't hurt? Don't laugh. It stings. Somebody the other day did not believe that I was Josiah's father. They couldn't believe it. And then they wanted to know how tall his mom was. No matter how hard I try, how much I think about it, I can't make myself any taller. You people are cruel, laughing at me right now. I promise he's mine. I was there. He says, think about the lilies. How many of you guys like flowers? Think they're pretty? I love them. I mean, I don't want to grow them, but I can appreciate them. It's amazing to me, too. Like, I remember vividly when I was a kid, my grandpa on my mom's side, he liked to grow. He had always had a garden. He liked to grow flowers, too. And he had morning glories on a trellis beside the house. You guys know morning glories? To this day, I love morning glories because they're pretty and because my grandpa grew them, right? I remember my grandmother's rose bushes, right? I remember those things. And I love driving down our highways here in Oklahoma and seeing the Indian paintbrush. It's beautiful. I love it. Okay, so I'm just saying that we look at them and we go, man, how beautiful are those? How much work does a flower put into being pretty? Yeah, it doesn't. It's just being what God made it to be. It's just taking in what God gave it to be, what He made it to be. It doesn't put any work into it. Like, they don't grow any cotton and spin it and dye it. Like, they don't do any of that. They just are. And if God takes care of them, He's going to take care of you. Going to take care of you. We need to understand that this maturity, this stature, our food, our clothes, everything, God's going to take care of us. So think about all the things God takes care of. Seriously. Jesus is saying, look at it. He's saying, consider it. He's saying, think about it. He's saying, take it in. Because what? God's taking care of all of this stuff. And you need to look at it. You need to think about it because it will remind you that He'll take care of you. What am I saying? I'm saying when the money gets tight and you're not sure how you're going to pay that next bill, take a walk outside. And literally, just go outside. Look at the birds. Look at the flowers. Look all around you and understand that God's taking care of all of that and He'll take care of you. That's the kind of faith we're talking about. Now, it's easy to stand up here and say that, right? And it's pretty easy to sit out there and say amen. But it's a whole lot different when you're living it. Right? That's why we need the truth of the Word of God so we can come back to it. And we can remember what Jesus said. Don't be anxious about it. Don't worry about it. Just go outside. You know, that could be the answer to a lot of problems. Just go outside. Go outside and look at what God has made and trust in Him. Trust in Him. Don't be anxious. Your Father in heaven knows what you need. He knows what you need. We looked at verse 26. Look at the fowls. Look at the birds. And then he says, you're better than they are. And then he says, which of you taking thought can add one cubit to a stature? None of us. We are what God made us to be, and we can trust in Him. And then we can look at verse 28. Why are you worried about clothes? Think about the flowers. Think about the flowers. They grow. They don't toil. They don't spin. And none of them are anywhere. Solomon, in all of his glory, is nowhere compared to how beautiful God's creation is in His flowers. Okay? And if God, verse 30, so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? We have just a tiny amount of faith, and you need to understand this. Those beautiful flowers today, they're there, and then the next day they're gone. And in Jesus' day, literally, they would gather stuff like that up, and they would burn it in the oven, right? Literally. Burning it up. It was beautiful, and it's going to be burned up. But God made them beautiful, and you are more valuable than those things are. Okay? So trust in Him. Trust in Him. Verse 31. Take no thought. Don't be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Now, who are the Gentiles? Well, basically, that's everybody that's not an Israelite. So here's what he's saying. All of the people who believe in God, the God of the Bible, the creator of the universe, that's Israel. And then the Gentiles are everybody else. So these are people who don't believe in the one true God. These are people who are worshiping pagan gods, worshiping devils. They're everybody who's outside of true faith. And he's saying all of them seek after those things. They're anxious for those things. They're worried about those things. And he says, your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. And what's he trying to do? He's trying to draw a contrast. Remember, those people are worshiping false gods. And what do? Well, they're giving food so that their fake gods will give them food. They're sacrificing things so that their fake gods that don't exist can do something for them. They're crying out to Baal, who has a statue with ears, but he can't hear. He has a statue with eyes, but he can't see. And what Jesus is trying to say, all of those people are seeking that in their pagan worship. And I'm telling you, your Father in heaven already knows what you need because he can see. Because he can hear, because he does love. He loves you, and he cares about you, so you don't have to worry. So does that mean that you shouldn't plan? Does that mean that you shouldn't prepare? Is that what Jesus is teaching? Don't think about your food. Listen, just don't think about it tomorrow when you get up. I'm sure there'll be food in the refrigerator. I mean, is that what he's saying? No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying don't worry about it. Does that mean that you shouldn't work? No, that's not what it means. The Bible is clear. If you don't work, you don't eat. Right? So you got to work. He's not saying you shouldn't plan. Should you not be prepared? Should you not think about it? No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying don't worry about it. So it's not wrong. Listen, if you want to put together a grocery list, a meal plan for the month, and you want to pick out what kind of groceries you're going to go buy, and you want to have a plan for that, you can absolutely do that. That's not wrong. You just can't worry about it. Everybody tracking with me? Okay. Let me say it as plain as I know how. God, Jesus, is not teaching us to be lazy and irresponsible. That's not what he's teaching us. What he's teaching us is to trust in God, not ourselves. Okay. So God has not left us powerless against anxiety. I want to tell you that a lot of people struggle with anxiety, and I understand that. And I think if we're honest, all of us struggle with anxiety to some level. And some people struggle with it at different levels. I understand that. I'm just telling you that God has made a way for you to not have to live with anxiety. It doesn't have to control your life. So let me give you some practicalities. You guys like practicalities, don't you? Like, so what do we do? What do we do? I mean, just stand up here and say, don't be worried. Don't worry. I mean, that always worked with my kids. Especially Abigail, she's in nursery, so I'll pick on her. I'll hear about it later. Like, she's a teenage girl, and I'll just be like, well, don't worry about it. Well, that works. Okay, Dad said so I'm just not going to worry anymore. It doesn't work that way, does it? No. It's just don't worry. And you're like, it didn't work. I tried really hard. So what do we do? Well, let me give you some steps. Number one, live with gratitude. Gratitude. God wants us to be thankful. Remember, we read that in Philippians 4. Be careful, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So we want to come with gratitude. Gratitude turns our focus from what we lack to what God has already provided, and it calms our hearts, and it causes us to realize what he's already done. I can look with gratitude. I can say, I'm really concerned about paying this bill. I'm really concerned about what we're going to do here. But I can look back and say, God has already given me all these things. And so I'm grateful for that, so I'm not so worried about the future. So gratitude is huge. Zig Ziglar used to say you ought to live with an attitude of gratitude. Attitude of gratitude. And it does. It changes everything. And this is biblical, so I know it's true, but not surprising that everything in the world and the research shows the same thing to be true. That an attitude of gratitude can change your life. When you're thankful, it will change your heart and your mind. It will actually literally change your health. It reduces stress. It improves heart function. Like science proves what the Bible already shows us to be true, that having gratitude will change everything in your life. So be thankful. And just real quick, does anybody in here have anything to be thankful for today? Like, I mean, could you just even think of one thing to be thankful for? I'm going to tell you this. If you get started counting your blessings, it won't take long. If you literally sat down with a notepad and wrote them down, it wouldn't take long to fill up a page. Be grateful. Number two, prayer and meditation on Scripture. Prayer and meditation on Scripture. Don't worry, pray. Don't worry, pray. I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, if only I had somebody I could cry out to who knew what to do. I don't have the ability. Oh, if only you knew somebody who had the power to help your situation. Right? Pray. Pray and meditate on Scripture. I don't know about you, but I think that anxiety and fear can be like a runaway train. Like, as soon as you get on that thing, it just loses control. Like, the brakes go off. I'm amazed at how quickly I can completely go down a very dark path in my mind. Like, I just start that, like, well, what if this happens? Oh, well, what if this? Well, what if this? And next thing you know, like, my heart's racing. I'm starting to sweat. Like, I have created this reality in my mind that is terrifying. And everybody in the room is just like, what's wrong with him? Like, you don't, right? I've got all this going on inside of me. So what do I need to do? Well, I got to get my mind in the right way. So I'm going to pray. And I'm going to meditate on Scripture. Why? Because all the stuff I'm making up in my head is not truth. So I'm going to replace all that nonsense and lies and fiction with the truth. So I'm going to meditate on God's Word. She sang the song while I go, I believe. You know, that's what we're talking about. Meditating on what we believe, what we know to be true. Do you believe God loves you? Is it true? Do you believe Christ died for you?
Yes.
Do you believe that nothing can separate you from the love of God?
Yes.
You telling me that no matter what you do, he's still going to love you?
Amen.
You people believe that he'll never leave you or forsake you?
Amen.
You actually believe that?
Yes.
Come on. You actually believe God will never leave you or forsake you?
Yes.
Some of you sound a lot less confident all of a sudden. The way you're asking it, I don't know. I'm a little unsure. No, I'm asking it that way because that's what the devil does. That's what the world does. That's what your own wicked thoughts do. Can you really trust it? Can you really believe it? Yes. He will never leave you or forsake you. Yes, he loves you no matter what. Yes, nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Nothing in this world, now or to come. Nothing in you or outside of you can ever separate you from his love. And you can believe that and you can trust that and you can hold on to that promise. And you can meditate on that truth and you go, but you don't understand what I'm worried about. But you don't understand how much God loves you. Well, you don't understand my problem. I don't have to. God does. And I'm telling you, he's got you because he has your eternity. So meditate on the Scripture. Well, what Scripture do I meditate on? I'm going to tell you this. Whatever it is you're struggling with, he's got an answer for it. Like, it's awesome, really. Like, you think, oh, no, I got something that God didn't write about. Oh, yeah? I'll take that challenge. You say, well, it doesn't use the word. Okay. The truth's there. The truth's there to help you in everything that you're facing, everything you're anxious about, he has. So prayer and meditation on the Scripture. Number three. You guys know we're going to have a meal in a little bit. Couple of you knew that. You might not appreciate this one, but the number three is physical exercise. Physical exercise. You know what Jesus did a lot of? He walked. Now, you might think I'm trying to make too much of this. I'm just telling you that if you're struggling with anxiety, you live with an attitude of gratitude, you pray and meditate on Scripture, and if you will go outside and go for a walk, it will revolutionize your mental health. This is Isaac, so just so you know, this is my opinion, okay? I don't have any Bible necessarily to back this up too much. I think one of the reasons America's in such bad shape today is because too many people live in cities and they never experience creation. Everything they experience outside, when they go outside, is man-made. Man-made lights, man-made buildings that hide the creation of God. And maybe there's a few trees that somebody planted scattered around here and there, but I'm going to tell you this, if you will get outside and get sunshine and go for a walk, it will change your mind. physical exercise. It will help you. It strengthens your body. And literally, I mean, if you just look at it, God made us this way, right? He made us that when we exercise ourselves bodily, that it's going to change our minds. It literally triggers things in your brain that get released into your body that not only make you healthier, but make you feel better too, which is nice because I like to feel good, right? Physical exercise. I promise you, and you say, well, Brother Isaac, I can't do this or can't do that. Just let me try to help you out. Wherever you are, whatever you can do, do something, right? We're all in different places physically, and not everybody can do all the things that other people can do. But if you can get out and walk, then do that. And you say, somebody's watching online and says, I'm in a wheelchair. Well, then go for a roll. Like, move your arms. Like, do what you can. I'm just telling you that however you can move, do it. Do it. Y'all weren't supposed to laugh at that. That was serious. What are you doing? I promise you. Brothers and sisters in Christ who are wheelchair bound today, when they get out and move, when they exercise themselves, they are better. They have less worry than those who don't. Okay, number four, rhythms of rest. If you're going to exercise, you ought to rest. We don't practice the Old Testament Sabbath. That's a debate that I know a lot of Christians have today, and that's fine. We can debate that. We can study that out. There are, I believe, biblical reasons why we're here on a Sunday, the first day of the week, then a Saturday, the seventh day of the week. But I will say this, it's built into us to need rest. Amen. And you may think it makes you a better person because you live on no sleep and you work 7 days a week, but I am telling you that is against God's design, and you need rest. You say, well, I don't have time to rest. Well, you'll rest well in the grave. Listen, you need rest. You need a time to do nothing. You need a time to stop. And it's not just about getting physical rest. Listen to me. It is about acknowledging the fact that God is in control. It's about the fact that you say, you know what? I don't have to work 7 days a week because I know God's going to provide for me. That's the whole point. It's the whole point of the Sabbath, is to trust God. So you need rhythms of rest. I'm not saying that you have to take Saturday off. I don't know what day it might be for you. I don't think we're under the law of that. Jesus Christ is our Sabbath rest. We rest in him, but the principle remains, and you ought to take a day off. You ought to take a day off. It's good for you, and it's good for your anxiety. Number five. This is the last one. Number five. You need genuine fellowship with other believers. You need genuine fellowship with other believers. You need to have fellowship. That's the idea. Fellows in the same. You need to be in the same boat with somebody else. Okay? It provides encouragement. It provides accountability. And we are able to share and bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What does that mean? That means the law of Christ is to love one another as he loved us. And if I'm going to love you, then I've got to be near enough to you to know you. If I'm going to bear your burdens, then I got to be close enough to you to know about your burdens. But here's the American church, and here's how most of you grew up doing church. You don't bear one another's burdens, you hide your burdens. We come into this building and we pretend like we don't have any burdens. We pretend like everything's fine. We pretend like we got it all together. And we're not close enough to each other to even know that we're struggling. Half of you in this room don't even know about somebody else's struggles and trials. You don't know about their burdens. All the people in this room that are struggling, literally battling anxiety every single day, a lot of us don't even know it because we don't know each other well enough. So what are we going to do? Well, we're just going to pretend. We're going to play church. We're going to do our thing. Come in with a smile. Act like everything's fine. We're going to go home and go our separate ways. Or we could go out of our way. We could go out of our way to spend time with somebody we don't know and get to know them. We could be vulnerable. We could be willing to take the first step and say, hey, I need you to pray for me. I'm struggling with this. To just open up enough, and you'll be amazed at what happens. When you start sharing your burdens, people will share their burdens with you, and then we can do what this is calling us to do. We can love one another. We're going to have a meal in a minute. I mentioned that. It's a tremendous opportunity to sit with somebody that you don't normally sit with and get to know somebody. I don't know that there's a greater, more biblical way than to sit down and share a meal with somebody. Jesus did it all the time. They sat down, they broke bread together, and they talked. The disciples, of course, asked Jesus questions, and he taught them. But friends, we can do that. You can sit down with somebody across the table and share a meal together. And I just want to encourage you in a little bit when we go back there that you'll do that. I know it's easy to just sit with somebody you know already and you're comfortable with. But we gotta do better. We gotta do better at getting to know one another. Hey, just take a second real quick. Look around the room. I wish I could turn the camera around. Look around the room. Is there anybody in this room as you look around that you don't really know that well? Amen. So maybe that you would go and fix your plate. You can go get your dessert first, like a good Baptist. Get your dessert first, then get you a plate. Go sit down, but seek out somebody that you don't really know that well and get to know them. Find out who they are, where they're from. Ask them their testimony. Find out if they're saved. You might sit down next to somebody who's never been born again, and you might be able to share Christ with them today. You never know what he might do. But we need fellowship, genuine fellowship with other believers. And it can't just be once a quarter meal at the church. We've got to make time for it every week, to go out of our way to spend time with other believers. I care about your mental health. You care about your mental health? Jesus does. I mean, he spent this whole section, it's really about wealth, it's really about money, is really what he's talking about. And in the middle of it, he's saying, don't worry about it. Don't be anxious about it. Do you think that's something that we don't deal with today? You think people are anxious about money? Of course we're anxious about money. Everything that we buy costs more than it used to 5 years ago. It costs more and it's smaller. What in the world happened to the candy bars? I mean, I don't really buy candy bars, but they cost two times as much and they're half the size. What in the world? It's not right. We need the old-fashioned American-sized candy bars. I'm just kidding. We don't really need that at all. People are worried about money. And Jesus is saying, don't worry about it. He cares about your anxiety. And I care about yours. We ought to care about one another. And so part of that is that. So let me run through them one more time. Number one, gratitude. Number two, prayer and meditation on Scripture. Number three, physical exercise. Number four, rhythms of rest. And number five, genuine fellowship with other believers. I think that those five practicalities can help you tremendously to overcome anxiety in your daily life. You don't have to live with anxiety. God willing, this afternoon, we'll go a little bit further in the text because we've still got a couple of verses here that are absolutely key. Let me end by this. Look at verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. This is really the heart of it. This is the key of it. The key is to focus on his kingdom first. It's to put Christ in his kingdom above everything else, and he will take care of the rest. And I'm telling you that if you live in the kingdom the way he's been teaching us to live in kingdom, he will take care of everything. He absolutely will. All right, let's stand together. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. We'll close with a song. Live free from daily anxiety. You don't have to. Take the things God's word gives us, the practicalities, so that you can live that way day by day. This morning, there might be somebody here or watching online who's never been born again. I want to tell you, living with or without anxiety won't matter. If you could, and you can't, but if you could gain an anxiety-free life and end up in hell, what good did it do you? What does it gain a man if he should lose his own soul, gain the whole world and lose his own soul? We need Christ first. So maybe this morning, you know today, you've never personally trusted Christ as your Savior. Maybe you say, well, I believe in God. Well, the Bible says that's good. The devils believe and tremble. We're not just talking about belief in God. We're talking about trusting with all our heart in Jesus. Maybe today you need to trust in him alone as your Savior. I plead with you to do that. Maybe you've been saved. You need to be baptized. Whatever it is, the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart. If there's a decision that you need to make, you come while we sing.
Page 5.